Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about handling loss or grief during this time of the year. My guests are Teresa Doniger. She's a licensed professional counselor. She specializes in grief and loss. And Dr. Jonathan Good. He is a licensed clinical psychologist here at Howard University. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Back to the phone lines. Robin calling from D.C. Robin, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I lost my mother in February of this year, and so this is my first holiday without her. And I, of course, had no idea what to expect, but, you know, and it hasn't been easy. And I just wanted to sort of just offer some idea about what not to say, at least to me, when well-meaning friends, and they are well-meaning and they're dear friends from decades, who, when I tell them or told them, you know, that like Thanksgiving was a tough day, will say things like, "You're so strong and your mother would want you to enjoy the day," or it's not helpful. Another friend called the other night and she asked me a question, and I'm, you know, reluctant to start at this point saying I could cry any time. You may look at me and I seem fine, but I'm really not. And she just listened. And I talked until I realized I had just been talking nonstop to get it out. She's also lost her mother with several years ago, but she kind of gave me that gift of just listening and not telling me what I should be feeling, or it's sort of shutting me down with, you know, how strong I am. Yeah, I'm strong, but this is something that is, it's not about strength. It's about, I'm not really sure what it's about because it's still pretty new, but I just wanted to say that it's, if you could just listen to us, sometimes that's all I need. That's all I need.
Dr. Good, what are you hearing from Robin?
I mean, I think she makes an excellent point. You know, to be heard and understood is the most important thing. Sometimes we have loved ones who make gratuitous statements like, "Oh, you're a strong person. You're hanging in there. I just admire the fact that what you're doing in terms of resolving your grief is just amazing. But you only know what you're going through. Your subjective experience is valid, and no one can tell you what stage of grief you're in or how you should be feeling. The last thing that someone needs is to be told how to feel. That is the most insensitive thing to say. It sounds like what your friends are saying are words of encouragement, and sometimes it's not really about what you say. It's about just active listening and just being someone who is present to hear what they, in this case, what you have to say about the loss, and sharing those fond memories and talking more elaboratively about the experiences that fond memories that you've had with your mother. Those are the things that are most important. You know, sometimes people just want to be heard and understood when they're going through bereavement, especially during this time of the year. People want to be, they want someone to acknowledge. They want the world to stop and understand that this is what they're experiencing right now. And I think that's what's most important to what you're saying. So you make a very valid point.
Mm-hmm. Teresa.
Robin, I think that to me, what really resonates is, or I just, you know, I get it, what you're talking about, that you benefit so much from people just hearing you, just listening to you. Mm-hmm. And my, I guess, comment to your comment is that I hope that you have identified enough people, even if it's just two people, who do listen in that way that is so helpful. Because not everybody will, not everybody can. We live in a society that does not like to talk about things that are sad, including death. Mm-hmm. And so not everybody is going to say the right thing or be able to listen in that way that it sounds like the friend you were talking about was able to. So I'm so glad you have her.
But quickly, though, I mean, but here's the thing. And I think what Robin is suggesting is so important, but it is also socially precarious because we all, obviously, if she's talking to people who are around her and attempting to support, what do you say when you don't know what the other person needs to hear? Because the person she was talking to on the phone, let us suggest that that person was lucky that they had a listening ear. But many people do not. They want to be able to support. They want to be able to say the right thing. And she, in her grief, may run the risk of offending those who care about her most by saying, I don't need to hear that. So how does someone on the outside know that someone that they love who is grieving or whom they believe is grieving can be supported by what they say or not say?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind for me is just simply being able to validate their feelings, normalize them, and just stay present with what they're saying, active listening, not trying to push the person who's mourning one way or another. It's just being actively attuned to what they're saying. Not having to say much sometimes could mean the most to someone. Things that are most negative is trying to push someone where they are not by telling them that they are essentially courageous or they should move past the grief. And those are some of the things that are like the most detrimental when it comes to helping one work through the grieving process.
Teresa, real quick.
I just want to say that grief is a very, very personal experience. It's also an experience where if it's one person in particular who is in the midst of a grieving process, it's a time when that person can really learn to create important boundaries and set certain limits. And what I mean by that is create boundaries that remind them, oh, no, don't go talking about this with Joe. Because remember what happened the last time. Joe doesn't know what to say. It makes him uncomfortable. He's not somebody that makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that you can't have a relationship with Joe. It might be just that Joanna is the person that you really feel good talking to because she can be there for you in that way. And so I don't think that there's one clear cut. There's no cookie cutter type of thing.
It's hard. And you said, you know, again, grieving for every person is complex. And I think Robin really illustrated perfectly how the complexities of how one is feeling, particularly when you've lost someone who is so close to you. But Robin, thank you so much for sharing with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Well, thank you. I think you've been helpful too. So thank you, dear. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ingrid calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. This is Ingrid. And I would like to say I felt I lost my mom twice. The reason is she's had Alzheimer's. She lived to be 91 years young. She lived a long, productive life. She was loving and caring. And when you go to your parents or your loved ones, you find it hard to grieve because you know you were always there. When she did pass, it was 2 days after Thanksgiving. I've been grieving in my heart, but I have a problem with crying to let it all out because I have dry eyes. Now, I could drop a tear or two, and I use liquid. Well, that's not the case, but I just want to share that with people who have loved ones that have Alzheimer's. And when I think of my mom, all I feel is love and joy that she's here, and she's not here with Alzheimer's, but that she's gone and in a better place.
Teresa, talk to us about that double loss. That is such a huge, huge piece because it really prolongs in some ways that mourning, grieving process even before she passes.
Let me just clarify. Did you say that your mother is still living?
No, she passed.
She passed at 91.
Yes, November this year.
Oh, just, okay.
2 days,
two days after
recently.
Thanksgiving.
Very recently. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, very recently.
Okay.
It's been less than a month.
Yes, it has.
So my main comment, I guess, is that, and I'd be interested to hear again from you, Ms. Ingrid, my main comment is that what I have seen working with people whose parents had or family members had terminal diseases or, you know, long-term diseases like Alzheimer's or even stroke, what I've seen is that it is really like at least two losses or more, because along the way you're watching losses, you know, from when maybe a person stops being able to walk or can't feed themselves or doesn't remember who you are. And that is while they're living, which something like that I'm sure you experienced. And what I also found is that for some people, when the loved one actually dies, they don't necessarily have the same experience with grief as some people might, because they've been watching these gradual declines, which we sometimes call anticipatory grief or ambiguous loss.
So true.
So I'd also want to just quickly ask you, are you worried about not crying?
Well, I believe in due time it'll come, but I just can't, for the life of me, think why I don't cry. When I think of my mom, I just think of her with a smile.
Well, that's a good thing.
I was going to say, is that a bad thing?
I don't think it's a bad thing. Oftentimes we have this preconceived notion that if you lost someone that you should feel a certain way.
Right.
Absolutely.
You should feel how you feel and accept that, because it can be very complex and confusing for you to feel like what others expect you to feel.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you have come to terms with a sense of acceptance, despite the fact that she had dementia and that she was at an age where she passed. But there are a lot of fond memories that you have of her, and to take and cherish those moments and not be so caught up in the confusion about how you should feel.
Let me ask you before I let you go, Ingrid, before your mother developed Alzheimer's, how would you describe your relationship with her on a scale of 1 to 10?
10.
Well, see, that's what I mean.
Mom, I talk to every day.
You know that, and that I just think that's wonderful, because as we know, there are so many adult children who look back on horribly dysfunctional relationships with their parents or other loved ones. Mm-hmm. And for you to be able, without hesitation, to say that the relationship that you had with your mother before she became ill was a 10, and our professionals certainly can comment on this. That is why now, when you think about her, that there is so much joy. Nobody's perfect, but if your mom, that relationship is a 10, you've got a lot to hold on to.
I thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Ingrid, thank you so much for giving us a call. I appreciate it. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Eureka calling from Temple Hills. We're also going to talk to Shannon calling from Maryland, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Also going to talk about losses other than death. How do you deal with that as well? We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about loss and grief during the holiday season. Let's go back to the phone lines. Eureka calling from Temple Hills. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Doing just fine, thanks.
Okay, I'm just calling in. I was flipping through the channels and something hit me, and I heard the topic, and I just experienced the loss of two loved ones. My grandmother passed on Halloween, and then my husband passed on November the 9th. So it's still very new, but right now, just like the previous caller, Ingrid, I'm kind of numb, and I haven't really cried. It's a lot to process, of course. Dealing with one loss is bad enough, particularly this time of year, but two back to back, and particularly that close in my circle. So I'm just trying to figure out ways that I can deal with it and process it until I finally do have my breakdown.
Definitely, Eureka. What it sounds like is there's a sense of there's a complicated grief that's going on. You had multiple losses, and, you know, with that, you have to consider another piece, and that's there are different stages of loss. And sometimes it's very hard to come to terms with it. And, you know, I'll use the word denial, not as in denial, you don't believe that this exists, but it's very hard to come to terms with going through and grieving through one loss only to re-experience the loss of another person. And that is another loss within itself and another stage of grieving itself. And it can come a very complicated piece to work through. So it makes sense that you would feel not so emotional as you would imagine yourself feeling right now. It's a very complicated situation.
And you said earlier that there is the expectation that people need to feel a certain way. And she made a comment about waiting for her breakdown. Is that necessarily the way that it must be?
I don't believe in musts or shoulds or have tos. So, no, I wouldn't say anything has to or must, you know, happen. But I, because Eureka has used that word, I'm trusting that she may feel within herself that at some point she's going to feel differently. She may react differently, whether it's a breakdown per se or not. I wouldn't know since I don't know her, but it sounds to me like she's aware of kind of what's going on for her, and maybe more will come out for her, or she'll be able to express or experience more in, you know, in a little bit of time. Is that at all accurate, Eureka?
It's accurate. I'm not per se a crier. That's not my initial reaction to pain.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a head-on collision 4 years ago, and I didn't cry. The first thing, I screamed, but I didn't cry. So crying is generally not my initial response to mm-hmm. pain. But losing two people that were that important to me
mm-hmm.
in that short a period of time, I'm surprised that I haven't cried more than I have.
Okay, because that was the question I was going to ask. Like, how do you feel about the feeling that you have? And it sounds like surprised is it as if you are should be feeling a certain way and you're shocked that you are not grieving the way you should be or one would expect you to be.
Can you help me understand that better? I would definitely agree with that. And particularly because like this week is especially hard. My husband and my anniversary was the 12th. His birthday is tomorrow. So I have, of course, you know, grief goes in stages. You have your ups and downs. Some days are better than others. But I'm really surprised that I have not just lost it.
Hmm.
I'm trying to keep it together because I do have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
But there's times when mm-hmm. all I can think about is my grandmother or my husband. Mm-hmm. But
how long were you married to him? How long were you?
It would have only been 2 years.
Okay.
Are you allowing yourself to grieve?
I know you said you had to basically be supportive of the fact that you will be there for your two children, which sometimes it's very hard for people to grieve and have to be strong for others, like such as your kids.
I think that I'm allowing myself to grieve. I'm just surprised that it hasn't occurred mm-hmm. kind of organically by now.
Well, real quick,
and
because
I've got
to get to another call, but real quick, what should she do between the anniversary and birthday feelings and all of this bottled up during this month of December? What is your best suggestion for her, Teresa?
I'm wondering, Eureka, you know, what you are doing, because sometimes even just taking care of our kids and going to work and seeing our friends is what can matter most at this time, because you've had, it sounds like within a month, you've had these two deaths, and you know, you may not, I don't know if something special has to happen. I do think, like Dr. Good was asking about, if you feel that you have been grieving, might there be other things that you could do that could kind of give you time and space to really think about your grandmother and your husband? Because there isn't one way to grief. There isn't like a magic potion and then you drink it and you're grieving. But, you know, other things are important too. Just taking time to yourself, you know, maybe taking a bath or taking a walk. And maybe on a walk, that's when you think about the people that you have lost. But I think what I'm hearing is that you might benefit from a little bit more space to do the grieving in whatever way feels right for you.
Okay. Well, Eureka, thank you so much for sharing with us. And please take care of yourself during this holiday season. Let me
thank
go.
You,
you're quite
thank
welcome.
You.
Shannon, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Shannon. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I haven't physically buried anybody, but I have a son that's incarcerated. And for the 4 years he's been gone, I have not celebrated any holidays because I just have an unexplainable sadness during the holiday season. So that's where I am.
Mm-hmm. Teresa, and you, that's where you've done a lot of work when you're talking about people that are grieving a non-death kind of loss. Talk to me about that, particularly in Shannon's case, please.
Thank you for sharing what you just did, Shannon. I'm sorry, Shannon or Sharon?
Shannon.
Shannon. Okay. The names are behind my head, so sorry about that. I'm glad you are sharing what you're sharing because, you know, we know, obviously, many, many, unfortunately, too many people's family members are incarcerated, not just at the holidays, but all, you know, 365 days a year. I wanted to just ask you quickly, when you said that for some unexplainable reason you feel so sad at the holidays, was that the case before your son was incarcerated?
No, it's because he's not here. I have two children. I'm divorced.
Okay.
And they were my life, and so... Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel kind of sad because, you know, I guess I'm kind of slighting my daughter, but it's just, it used to be the three of us, and now with one gone, it's
yeah.
just an emptiness,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I believe my daughter feels the same way, but she's, you know, just the bubbly, and I think she kind of shields her or disguises her pain with him because initially, you know, she took a year off of college because of his, you know, when he got sentenced.
Mm-hmm.
So we both dealt with it in different ways, but as the years go by, she's coming around more, and she said she's going to come up here, you know, this year, but I just haven't put up a tree. I'm not really in the mood during Mother's Day. I mean, any day is just to do anything to celebrate a holiday because he's not here, and a lot of times I can't visit him because I have to go on odd days because that's his number, so, you know, if it falls on a even day, I can't even visit during the holidays.
So how should she handle what she's feeling right now? Particularly, do you have any idea when he is expected to be released?
In 2018.
So
I mean, he'll be eligible for parole.
Eligible mm-hmm. for parole. So we're still talking about 2 years. So during yeah. that time, what should she do?
So if you were not going to see him until then, I think, you know, I think that the reason that I kind of latched onto that word unexplainable is because it seems to me you do have an explanation, and it's a very valid one. You know, one of your children hasn't been home for a long time. Do you and your daughter talk about how you would like things to be at this time of year? Have you talked about maybe doing something different? You know, as opposed to feeling like you have to do what everybody else does?
No, I think because I've vocalized it to family that I'm not doing anything or I don't want to do anything or whatever, she kind of backs away but she volunteered to come here, and I said we would do something special. I do visit my son on a regular. It's just not, I can't during the holiday season for whatever reason.
Right.
It just seems to always fall on an even day. But I do visit him regularly, but the actual day is just not the same. For
so what,
yeah. It's not the same.
So I'm running out of time. So what do you suggest that she do to help raise her spirits, to kind of remove this period of mourning that she's been going through over the past 4 years?
Well, I think that there probably isn't anything that will remove those feelings of sadness. But I do think that you and your daughter can create new traditions so that you two get to enjoy something. And all I was getting at was that, you know, I don't know how old your daughter is, but, you know, if you guys find things that you actually would enjoy that may have nothing to do with, you know, Christmas trees and wreaths on the door and all that kind of stuff, you know, it may...
24. I hear you, like, other activities.
Yeah, I mean, it could be holiday activities if there's some that you like, but it doesn't have to be because there is no have to be. You know, really what there is whatever you feel like.
Okay.
And I'll let Dr. Good have the final word, Dr. Good.
I strongly agree with Teresa. I think what you should do is set realistic expectations for yourself, particularly for the holidays. There's nothing that you have to do. Just be gentle to yourself and understand what's realistic for you and your daughter. It's a good idea to just make sure that you have people to check in. You check in on your daughter. But there is nothing that concrete that you must do for yourself or set some sort of unrealistic expectations for the holiday.
Okay.
Shannon, please, thank you so much for sharing with us and try to have the happiest holiday that you can during the course of this month. I want to thank my guests, Teresa Doniger and Dr. Jonathan Good. Also, as always, I'll be posting a contact information on WHUR.com so that you can find out more about them. Again, thank you both for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, December 15th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR or on Twitter at H Fisher WHUR or on Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton